Lipcast Slovakia, the podcast about Slovak literature in English. Welcome to the 8th episode of Lipcast Slovakia. My name is Julia Sherwood. I'm a literary translator and I live in London. My guest today is Michael Stein, a writer and journalist based in the Czech Republic. Mike has published short stories and journalism with a number of European and American magazines. He runs a website on Central European writing called Literalab and has written for literary journals such as Asymptote and the Review of Contemporary Fiction. He's an editor at the Prague-based journal Body and runs its Saturday European Fiction series. And his own fiction has been published in The Missing Slate and McSweeney's, among other magazines. Hi, Mike. Nice to have you on the podcast.
Hi, Julia. Thanks for having me.
How are you? How has life been treating you? You live in the Czech Republic, which hasn't been as badly affected by the pandemic as many other European countries, although a new spike or second wave or whatever you might call it seems to be approaching. I've been watching these eerie photos of Prague's empty streets and was quite envious. I wished I could be there. So have you enjoyed the city without the usual tourist crowds? And more seriously, how has all this affected your work?
It's a dream of a lot of Prague residents to have access to the city free of tourists. So it's been a bit of the lighter side to this darkness to be able to walk through the historic center without the stag parties and without all this mayhem. So that has been a strange silver lining because that was all getting a bit more and more excessive and over the top over the last few years. So that has been nice. It still is actually quite empty. Tourists are just starting to come back a little bit. But it's still a bit surreal. The only thing, if you walk through Old Town Square now, they just rebuilt the Marian Column, which was torn down at the end of World War I as a, you know, kind of sign of the Habsburgs Empire. It was torn down as a, you know, statue protest of that time. So it's kind of a strange, paradoxical thing that was kind of replica was just put up.
Yeah, I read about that and I read that it's terribly kitschy. What do you actually think?
It looks like something that should be on a mini golf course, honestly. it looks very, very new and very fake. And just in this historical moment and when the square is so empty, it's very strange. It just adds to the surreal nature of all of this. So I expect that when the British tourists come back, it will be knocked over probably because they think it's just a temporary display.
Or they'll try to climb it when they're drunk.
Exactly.
Right, and what about your work?
Well, of course, it's had a terrible effect for me and for a lot of people. I mean, a lot of, I should be probably today or yesterday coming back from the Carlo Vivaldi Film Festival, where I work this year every time. Yeah. That was canceled. It's been very unfortunate. What can I say? It's been difficult. I would like to say I can hope things will get better, but as the tourists come back, I don't think that's what's going to happen.
To come back to literature, in your series Saturday European Fiction that you curate for Body, you've featured English translations of stories and excerpts from longer works by authors from all over the world. And many of these writers, or actually most of them, are from Eastern and Central Europe. which is sort of understandable given that you're based in Prague. But it seems to me that there is more to it, that this part of the world holds a special fascination for you. Is that so? And can you tell me what's behind it?
Sure. I don't think it's so much about, for example, Czech writing or just about being in Prague. I think there's a couple sides to it. I just think through all of these years of reading, I've found the kind of writers that I really like and figured out what I value the most in fiction. And that the writers from Central and Eastern Europe, you know, from Russia and from this, you know, heritage of Central European writing, as well maybe as, say, Latin American writers, I think have a certain kind of engagement with history, with the darker parts of their history, politics, as well as a certain kind of art and humor that they bring to it. Maybe a lack of sentimentality. And it's this sensibility that I really find I respond to. And so as far as just reading, those are the books I like. As far as wanting to publish and give exposure to those writers, that's what I've wanted to do. So also as far as publishing, you know, I know that diversity in publishing is a very big issue now. And I think that obviously one issue about diversity is you want to reflect, people want to reflect society. They want to reflect, you know, different genders, races, all of these different things. But I also think there's an aspect of diversity which is for the reader, you know, it's, which means that it, for a reader, you should have the widest choice possible as far as your own taste and options available to you. And, you know, of course, translation is a big part of that. If you aren't able to be exposed to different languages, you have a lot less to be able to read and a lot of narrower sensibilities to be able to read. And I think exposing people to writers from this part of the world really can, you know, give people a lot more options who like a certain kind of writing.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great answer. And absolutely, when you talk about diversity and exposure, sadly, Slovak literature is one of those that hasn't really had enough. But you're one of the people who have really championed Slovak writers. I've counted 16 Slovak writers you've featured in Body, which is more than any other journal that I know of. And in one of the interviews you did with the Slovak writer Ursula Kovalik, you asked her if she saw Slovak writing as having a clear identity of its own. And she said, "To me, it doesn't have a clear identity. Every Slovak writer has his or her own very distinct identity." So let me turn the tables and ask you, have you found some features that distinguish Slovak literature from other literatures you've followed?
First of all, I have to, you know, make an excuse that I can't answer it fully because I can't read Slovak in the original. Mm-hmm. So I am
excused.
Yeah, thanks. I'm only able to read from the writers I'm reading in translation, and judge from that and say compare them to, you know, whatever Czech and Hungarian, Polish. Of course, the easiest comparison is with the Czech writers. Generally, I agree with her from just the comparison I can make. And I do think I would say there are certain themes, of course. Some of those themes work similarly. The only thing I would say is my sense from the Slovak writers I've read and some that I've just heard about is that I have the feeling a bit that there some of the Slovak writers have a bit more of an edge, you know, like a sharper, maybe darker edge than some of the Czech writers that I've read. And it's not that they're about being better or worse. It might be being from a smaller country. It might be being not having as high a profile relatively. I don't know what it is. But somehow, maybe being a little bit of an underdog. I don't know what it is. But it's just a slight perception on my part. But generally, I have a feeling really it's very individual. I don't have the feeling that there's such a big national perception the way people think of, say, French writers or English or American.
So you do seem to like Ursula Kovalik. You've published one of her stories, you interviewed her, and you wrote a really great review of her collection of short stories, The Night Circus and Other Stories, which was published last year. So what appeals to you particularly about Ursula Kovalik's work?
Well, I mean, the writing that I really like the most, just generally, I think it, and I suppose this must be true of anybody, but it kind of meshes with the way I see reality. So, for example, for me, your average realist fiction really doesn't interest me very much because it to me, it doesn't have any connection with my experience or the way I see my experience. And her writing has a really fantastic balance of the kind of gritty and funny reality that she's lived through, but also with the really strange, bizarre, beautiful way she sees things. And the way this interacts in her writing. You know, and I really don't want to use any labels because I think labels take away from the originality of her writing. But, you know, saying magical realism or surrealism, all of this, it reduces it to other people's writing. And I think, you know, she balances this kind of these two sides to show, like, you know, the Košice, where she grew up, you know, these housing projects, this kind of tough reality of, you know, the 90s and now with this kind of world where, you know, you can have a jungle in your bathroom and these animals are coming out of the woodwork and, you know, some really, you know, too hard to describe in a one word, you know, quite magical experiences. But she does it in a really original way without forcing it. You know, it's like these are themes that really feel urgent to her. She's not trying to be surreal or unique. It's just this is what she wants to write about. And I feel like that's rare. I don't feel, especially in English language writing, you see a lot of people who are trying to do something magical realist, but it's not native to them. They're trying to be magical realist, and there's a big difference.
Yeah, I agree. In her, it really feels completely natural and spontaneous.
Yeah.
And of course, the other part that's important and key to her writing is that she writes about women's experience.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
As
yeah.
does Jana Juráňová, another author you featured. And her book, Žila som s Hviezdoslavom, which we translated as Ilona, My Life with a Bard, was actually published in book form, really thanks to your connection that you helped me make with Calypso Editions. So I would like you to say a few words about that book. What attracted you to it?
There's a few Slovak writers that were writing historical works, but what I just love about a lot of Central European historical writing is that you get the feeling that it's not history in a glass case. You know, there's something very contemporary about a lot of the issues that it's dealt with, and it's not costume drama history. You know, it's really from a different angle. I mean, in this case, it's dealing with, you know, a kind of 19th century founding artistic, you know, I don't know how you describe what Vjezdoslav is for Slovakia, but, you know, one of your artistic touchstone for the country, which, you know, as Americans, we don't really have this. But most European countries have this kind of big, you know, figure. And to take it from a different angle of his, you know, his wife who's in the background and have this kind of irony, but also not you know, lay it on heavily, I thought was really well done, because I feel like an American version of this would make it about her, you know, it would paint him as a villain. You know, it was such a light touch. There were some serious issues, but it was done, you know, in like a painting. And I really liked it. So you were able to laugh. You were able to sometimes, you know, of course, see the tragedies there and see all the different sides, and it made it a really sophisticated, deep work of art, which was great.
Wonderful. Yes, I also thought that this subtle irony was the best thing about the book.
Yeah.
So both Ursula Kovalik and Jana Juraneva were lucky to have complete books published in English, but there are still many, many Slovak writers who had excerpts published, but who are still not widely enough known to English language readers, and you featured many of them in Body. So who impressed you, and whose work would you recommend to publishers, and why?
Okay, well, I mean, a few of the names. The first story I actually ever brought to Body way back about 7 years ago was Peter Karpinski, in a story called Shadow Play that was translated by Charles Sabatos, who you've had as a guest, I believe. I mean, that was a really powerful, intense story about translation as well as about insanity. And it was a really intense story that I can highly, highly recommend. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite stories. Another writer who we've published in Body, and it later appeared in the anthology Into the Spotlight, was Dušan Mitana, On a Tram. Mm-hmm. And we also recently published another story of his in our Central European special, like, week, which we had. But On a Tram was just a really funny story. I mean, funny, and I reread the story now during, you know, the pandemic. Mm-hmm. This claustrophobic being packed into a, you know, a tram, and what then happens. And I thought, okay, it's a, you know, very unique story that I'm not sure also you could send to magazines and have it published now, maybe. But I thought I really love his sensibility and his sense of humor.
Yeah, that's quite wicked.
Yeah. As well as the anthology has another story of his that follows up on it. The story Signs, which an excerpt from the book Missing, is a fantastic historical work about the medieval or later than medieval fighting against the Ottoman Empire and an executioner. And it's a really amazingly colorful work. He's definitely a writer. I can recommend it. It's a whole nother facet of historical writing that, you know, from an era of history and a place that I think most English language readers really would have no, you know, experience of reading much about. So also, I can highly recommend that.
Okay, so we have two recommendations, Peter Karpinski and Dušan Mitana. Anyone else?
Oh, yeah, and another one who also I think is excellent with historical work is Pavel Renkov. I've written a review of a novel which will be coming out in the fall. I believe you've discussed it as well on the podcast, but it happened on the 1st of September or some other time. It's a fantastic novel which deals with the period from 1938 to 1968. And I've also read a historian in the anthology. I wrote a little bit about it in my review of that, called Mothers, an excerpt as well about a Slovak who was imprisoned in the Soviet Gulag. And I mean, his story is always, you know, it's not really about Slovak history exactly. It's like he uses a Slovak perspective to tell a much broader history, you know, in this, the Gulag, World War II, the 1968 invasion, you know, communism. And then he tells it from a, you know, sometimes in the novel, the multiple perspectives. You know, different ethnicities, you know, different experiences. And it's a really excellent and interesting way to tell history. Also very engaging. I mean, the novel, to me, I think has incredible potential to be really successful. I think it's a really, really great book. One other writer, completely different, Andrei Štefánik. And this is the opposite pole from this dark, serious stuff about history. But I published three of his stories in Body. You know, so it couldn't be any more different. If just the names of the stories are My Name is Paula, Man on a Toilet, and To Sacrifice Yourself for Someone Else. Mm-hmm. But these stories are really the, you know, absurdist black humor. But I think they're some of the funniest stories I've ever published and some of the funniest stories I've ever read. And I really, really love his humor. It's the closest I've come to finding someone who is able to translate this kind of jokes that you can kind of riff off with your friends on a late night and get it onto a page. And I think that's very hard to do. And he somehow manages to capture that really well.
Great. So two more writers, Pavel Renkov, who's It Happened on the 1st of September, is coming out this autumn, so we have something to look forward to. And Andrei Štefánik, who has yet to find a publisher for his works in English. Great. And now, what about your own writing? Is there something you're working on at the moment? And can we look forward to seeing the result in print anytime soon?
I have a short story that will be coming out in the fall, I believe, in a magazine called Phantom Drift.
Phantom Drift?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm just sending out an essay, which is actually just about the center of Prague and how it used to be in the 90s and how it mushroomed into a kind of tourist Disney world at least before the pandemic. So I will not quite determined where I will publish that yet, but it's certainly a theme that is, very current. So we will see.
I really look forward to reading that. And I think we probably have to leave it at that. So thank you very much, Mike. This is really great talking to you. And thank you for all your recommendations.
My pleasure.
And take care and have a great holiday.
Thanks so much for having me. And you too.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.